Hi, everybody, and welcome back here for another little bite-sized political podcast on the David Vance podcast channel. Thanks for downloading this, and thanks to quantumhypno.co.uk, link below, for sponsoring this. Appreciate all of that. And shall we tackle the topic of the tainted blood story, which, of course, is absolutely all over the media today. And I mean, you can't help but have seen it because every headline, every newspaper across the retail estate, from the Sun to the Mail to the Times to the Mirror, talks about headlines like Britain's Day of Shame over tainted NHS blood. We've got that in the Times. The Daily Mail says the day that shames a British state, again relating to the scandal, essentially, of the infected blood that was, I think, about 40 years ago or so. And they say all of them, Daily Telegraph, same message, a day of shame for the British state. Daily Express, this is a day of shame for the British state. So it's a day of shame for the British state. The message is out there. They're all so sorry. Everyone's so sorry about this. The Landmark report blasts failures that led to more than 3,000 deaths. It was a chilling cover-up, apparently, hid for more than 40 years. The Prime Minister and the NHS boss have made historic apologies to the victims. Of course, the families fear that no one's ever going to have to face justice. And today, on Tuesday, we're going to find out what the compensation awarded to those involved will be. But, of course, let's be honest about it. This is absolutely horrific. And just think about it. This is the NHS once again indicted. It was scandal in terms of the sheer grotesque incompetency of how the NHS went about their business. But every bit as bad as that, it was the fact that the NHS denied what it was doing. I mean, here's a couple of quotes from the report in terms of the infected blood inquiry. It says, the NHS was adopting an attitude of denial towards the risks of treatment. It was treating children unnecessarily. It was falsely reassuring the public and patients. It was offering a systemic, collective, and individual failure to deal ethically, appropriately, and quickly with the risk. It failed to put patient safety first. It failed to tell people of the risks of the treatment and of available alternative treatments. There was a lack of openness, transparency, and candor shown by the NHS and the government. Right, okay, you see where I'm going with this one, don't you? Because bad and all, as this particular scandal has been, COVID. Just think of COVID. We didn't just lose 3,000 people during COVID. We lost many times that number. And it's exactly the same. Everything I've just read out could equally apply to COVID. You know, adopting an attitude of denial towards the risks. Well, we know that there's risks. We know AstraZeneca have said, yeah, there's lots of risks, by the way, and we're withdrawing the drug globally. Yeah, but the NHS didn't tell us that, now did they? And the politicians didn't tell us that, now did they? Treating children unnecessarily. We know that kids were at no risk from the alleged COVID virus. And yet, yes, the NHS and the government were encouraging them to get vaccinated. The false reassurances given during the infected blood scandal, equally true during the COVID scandal. 100% safe, 100% effective, except it wasn't. So you absolutely see that what they did with the blood, infected blood, is exactly, and I mean exactly, what they did during COVID. It's the same. There is literally no difference between these things. And so, you know, what does that tell us about the state of the of how the NHS goes about doing things? I mean, it just strikes me that it's another example of the NHS. If it was a dog, you would put it down. It doesn't learn. It keeps repeating the same thing. I call it the National Death Service because I don't believe it it benefits our health. And as we see, the worst bit is the denial, the absolute denialism from top to bottom in the NHS and right across the political spectrum. That was over infected blood, similarly today over COVID as well. And maybe it will be in 40 years' time, when the likes of me is dead and gone, that the truth will come out about COVID. And they will issue a fulsome apology saying, yes, well, I mean, that was 40 years ago, but we are very, very sorry. And we will look into compensation. Maybe they will. But of course, by that time, they've probably moved on to the next attempt to kill us all. So, you know, there's a clear link between the infected blood scandal and the COVID scandal. There's a clear link. The only difference is time and scale. So the COVID one is 100 times worse. The propaganda was 100 times worse. The principles are the same, though. The NHS seeking to cover its tracks, because if you wait 40 years, the people that were involved, you know, they've moved on, they've retired. You won't get them because it's too late. And that's exactly what they're hoping, I think, to do with COVID. If they play the long game, eventually, because of people like us, the truth will come out. But the people who are responsible, anyone expecting justice is going to be disappointed, because the people involved in the COVID scandal, I think, when this does come finally to light in maybe 30 or 40 years, you know, they'll be either dead or they'll be long retired, and there will be no way of going after them, I believe. So you can see it's being played out in plain sight. Today, it's all these apologies about the infected scandal, infected blood, and what happened back then. And it would never happen again now. But it did happen. It happened during COVID. Thanks for listening.